Holy Week, Wednesday C. First posted March 31st, 2010. 1 Corinthians 1:5-11. Paul's Gospel. Background. The church at Corinth had been founded by Paul's preaching. Paul was continuing to disciple the Corinthian Christians by letter and was writing to correct doctrinal and ethical errors that were troubling the church. 1 Corinthians. Paul reminded the congregation the fundamental doctrines of the faith which Paul had preached, in which the Corinthians stood, by which they were saved, if they held firmly to them, if their faith was not ineffective. Paul faithfully transmitted the maintenance of the faith which he had received from Jesus by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and was raised from physical death to eternal life on the third day, in agreement with the Scriptures. Jesus appeared to the remaining of the original 12 apostles' disciples, commissioned to be messengers of the gospel, and then to more than 500 believers at one time, most of whom were still alive at the time Paul was writing. Then he appeared to James, the Lord's brother, and then to all the apostles. Last, he appeared to Paul as one in time will choose, bore a reference to Paul's late conversion after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Paul considered himself the least of the apostles, not worthy to be considered equal with others, because he had formerly persecuted the church. But God's grace had made it possible for Paul to be included among the apostles, and Paul had made the most of the opportunity he had been given by that grace. By God's grace, Paul worked harder than the other apostles in appreciation of the grace he had received. So whether by the preaching of Paul or the other apostles, the Corinthian Christians had believed the gospel. Commentary. Paul was deliberately intended by God to be the original and model of a modern, post-resurrection, born-again John 3:3, 5-8, disciple, student, and apostle messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we can and should be. I believe that Paul was the one God intended to replace Judas Iscariot, Jesus' betrayer, instead of Matthias, whom the disciples selected while they were supposed to be waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would guide and empower them, Acts 1:4-5-8, 15-26. Paul's soul of Tarsus had been convicted by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen and ascended Jesus, in the road to Damascus, where he intended to persecute Christians, Acts 9:1-5. Paul accepted Jesus' conviction, repented and became obedient to Jesus, Acts 9:6-9, was discipled by born-again disciple Ananias, Acts 9:10, until Paul was born again, Acts 9:17-18. Then guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, he began proclaiming the gospel and making born-again disciples to Timothy, 1:6-7, teaching them to repeat the process to Timothy, 2:2, in fulfillment of the Great Commission, Matthew, 28:19-20, which Jesus gave to his disciples to be carried out after they had been born again, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5-8. The same doctrinal and ethical errors which were besetting the Corinthian congregation beset the nominal church today. Elements within the nominal church deny the resurrection. Some deny that Jesus' death was the one and only sacrifice acceptable to God for the entire forgiveness of all our sins, that we must earn forgiveness by keeping the law, Scriptures, and doing good deeds, Ephesians 2:8-10. Some teach that salvation is a free gift, true, but without the requirement of discipleship and obedient trust in Jesus. False. See false teachings, sidebar, top right. Some nominal churches have settled for making members fair-weather Christians and building buildings instead of making disciples and building the kingdom of God. Discipleship is not an optional category of super Christian. A Christian is by definition a born again, John 3:3, 5-8, disciple of Jesus Christ, Acts 1:1, 2:6c. Discipleship is a spiritual growth process. Paul's conversion was exceptional for its speed, but remember that Paul was already formally trained in the Bible Scriptures and loved God. He just needed to be pointed to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The other original disciples were with Jesus virtually night and day for about 3 years and still weren't ready to leave Jerusalem. The church is the modern equivalent to go into the world with the gospel until they had been born again. Only Jesus baptizes with indwelling Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34. Only his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9b, 1:1, 15-16. The anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit is a personally discernible ongoing event. One should not rely on a church authority or theologian as to whether they have been born again or not. See false teachings, sidebar, top right. Faith is not like wishing on a star. We don't get whatever we believe if we believe hard enough. Faith that is not applied in our daily lives by obedient trust in Jesus is an ineffective faith. If we truly believe in Jesus, we will do what he teaches, Matthew 7:21-27, Luke 6:46. The standard for determining truth from false doctrine is the Bible. Paul's gospel was in accordance with the Bible. Unless one has read the Bible and reads it on a daily basis, one has no way to distinguish truth from error. Any average reader can easily read the Bible in 1 year. There are several plans available which include a portion of Old and New Testaments each day. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?